You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Locked On Heat here at Miami Heat Media Day. Wes Goldberg with David Ramil. Just got done talking with a few different players. Omer Yurtseven, Nikola Jovic, Darius Days, Haywood Highsmith. All of that you'll be able to find on the YouTube channel and wherever you get the podcasts shortly. But we're here with some takeaways from the star player press conferences, namely Jimmy Butler. One point of information, Eric Spoelstra, not available because of the birth of his child, was not able to make it to Media Day, conveniently enough. But
well timed by Spo. Well-timed. Attention to detail we're hearing is a major focus for Spo, and clearly that took a consideration in the birth of his child as well. But it's been a very interesting Media Day. Again, yeah, without Spo addressing media first and foremost, we heard first from Jimmy Butler, who came on with the extensions.
Still debating. Swore were not extensions, but big takeaway, still debating about whether or not they're going to be part of his season outfit.
That's right. So we did.
They're shorter, so I think they could work.
Are they?
They're shorter than they were, at least on Instagram. Before, they were like down to like the lower
midsection.
Back.
Okay.
So I think like those could somehow work, but I guess we'll see. I guess training camp is the test run for
him. When was the last player we saw with locks at the NBA level?
I mean, Jay Crowder has long.
Sorry, yeah.
But it's a little bit different, but yeah. So we heard from him, we heard from Tyler Hero, and we heard from Bam Adebayo. But to me, the big one was Jimmy Butler. Asked whether or not he was going to start at power forward or play power forward, and he says, I don't play power forward.
Definitively not.
He said, look, if Eric Spoelstra and Pat Riley and all these people come up to me and they want to have a conversation about playing power forward, I will listen and said all these things, but I'm not a power forward and I'm not going to play power forward. So anybody that's out there, we've been talking about what the potential starting lineup could be for the Heat all offseason, ever since P.J. Tucker got signed to Philadelphia. And for anybody that thought Jimmy might be starting at the four, it does not sound like it's going to happen. It doesn't even sound like it's been a conversation between him and the coaching staff, which to me, I think, is also important.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'd go that far, but I guess maybe they haven't addressed it directly with him. But he has to know what's taking place, considering, you know, no P.J. Tucker on the roster and no clear option either to fill in for Tucker. So he must understand that he's going to be asked at some point to switch up position. Again, his willingness to do so notwithstanding, I wouldn't see him play extended minutes there. I guess it falls on, well, Caleb Martin.
Yeah, probably. It looks like Caleb Martin. We talked to Haywood Highsmith this afternoon as well. He's also a potential option there. And Darius Days in the two-way contract. He could see some
now,
minutes there, too.
Now, Omer Yurtseven also making a strong case for him to play alongside Bam Adebayo.
Yep.
So that was an interesting option as well for a lot of people wondering whether or not they'd put Bam at, and Omer's quotes here, his natural position, too. So that's an interesting development there. I'm not sure, again, if that's been discussed. It might be something that they've considered off the court in conversations and things like that.
I think we're going to see a variety of different looks with this Heat group. And I think we're going to see them shuffle through a lot of different options.
Absolutely.
Probably all the names that we just discussed, plus Dwayne Dedman, who we're going to talk to later today as well.
In theory, yes.
No, I think the thing with Jimmy is he's going to see minutes at the four. We know that. It's just going to happen. He did it last year. It's not new. It's just throughout the course of the game. But to me, there's a big difference between when the coach turns in that starting lineup before the game, who is listed at power forward. And it's just, it's not going to be Jimmy Butler, even if we get to see those lineups at some point throughout the game. I just don't think he's going to be starting there.
What do you think is his main reasoning for not wanting to play the four? The wear and tear, the playing up a position?
I think some players view themselves as small forwards. It's sort of the same reason why, Kevin Durant always says, like, I'm not 7 feet tall.
Right.
He doesn't want to be labeled a seven-footer. He wants to be a small forward. You grow up being a wing. And that's why Jimmy Butler sees his game. So I think there's a little bit of like an ego thing with it.
Yeah.
But also, like, notable is the fact that Jimmy Butler looked noticeably slimmer.
Slimmer and yet also more muscular. I mean,
wiry.
Yeah, wiry. I also noticed a little bit perhaps more mass in his legs area, indicating to me that he understands that he might be putting more wear and tear and wanting to stay healthier. I can't say for certain.
Yeah, we're also not some lower body stuff.
Yeah, exactly. We're not on muscle watch here necessarily on Locked On Heat, but certainly it's a consideration. I think he understands what's at stake here. He's also clean shaven too.
Yes, so clean shaven.
A little peculiar.
Yeah, he went babyface assassin mode.
He did say that. Yeah,
but with the dreadlock things that are happening, kind of like the vines that kind of snake over buildings and college campuses.
The ivy.
The ivy. Yeah.
Nice.
I think like the ivy dreadlocks is kind of what he's rocking right now. But I am pro him trying it at the start of the regular season.
That's possible.
He does do a new look every year.
Yeah.
I don't know what it would be if not this.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, at this point, not much time before the start of the season, so I can understand why. Not a lot of options available here. But also, one other takeaway from his press conference, not going to be taking more threes despite the off-season footage that we've seen of him shooting more and more three-pointers. He can shoot the ball. He can put up 50 points every game. That's according to Jimmy. He says he can do it. He's not going to do it because for him it's all about the team, and it's not necessary for him to put up 50 points in order for the team to win. At least that's in his opinion. He also thinks that while he can and will take threes on occasion, he's not going to be doing so with any more regularity despite
he said I shoot threes all the time, but you're just not going to see me doing them in games as much, which I'm not sure I'm buying it. I think that might be a little bit of
hedging
gamesmanship
your bets
on his part too, because obviously we know he wants to get to the line. He said, look, I'm not going to be taking those kinds of threes in the middle of the game because my priority is getting to the line. I was like, Jimmy, man, you could do both. You could take threes. You could take three or four threes a game. And maybe that's what he meant, like when he said it. He's like, look, I'm not going to be out there jacking them up like Steph Curry. I'm not going to be taking 12 a game.
That makes sense.
More than 1.5, 2 a game would still, even if you doubled that, it's right. still only 4 a game. That's right. 1 3-pointer a quarter.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to parse through exactly. Like, everybody's positive. Everybody wants to be optimistic at the start of the season. Jimmy certainly was no different. I don't know if he's actually going to change his style of play. That's one thing we'll have to figure out at the start of the season. We'll see whether or not he's willing to incorporate that three-pointer. Yeah. But let's move on, unless you had any other takeaways from
just
Jimmy.
To that last point is, he might not specifically be changing his style of play, but if the Miami Heat do overall, then that's just going to be part of the flow of the offense. Is if the Heat overall are playing a little bit faster, shooting more threes, or doing something different defensively, then obviously he's a big part of that, and he'll adjust accordingly. But let's talk. We had Bam Adebayo and then Tyler Herro on after that. We'll talk about Bam after the break. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for football betting information this season. Find all the latest player developments, team matchups, news, podcasts, and in-depth articles and analysis on every game you can find. And as always, BetOnline remains your continued source for all of your sports wagering information, with live betting and up-to-the-minute scores for every sport out there. It's the fastest and easiest way to check in on all of your favorite games and events, including MLB, MMA, boxing, and golf. And let's see here, NFL weekend coming up. I like to look at the lines here. I went 2-2 last weekend. Look, I shouldn't have taken the under on that Texans-Bears game. I knew it when I took it. I should be 2-1 right now. Instead, I'm 2-2, but let's just look at the lines here. Listen, I think I don't really understand the Colts being 3-point favorites right now. I understand over the Titans. Big win against the Chiefs. I get it. Might be overreacting a little bit there. And then the other one is the Packers, 11-point favorites over the Patriots. I know it's in Green Bay. It's Aaron Rodgers. New England does not look good. Their defense specifically can't really stop anybody. But also, I don't know that Green Bay's beat anybody by 11 points this whole time. It seems like their offense is still trying to get going. But I'm not going to bet any of those, at least not right now, no. Instead, I can't believe I'm saying this, I'm looking at the Jaguars getting 6.5 points in Philadelphia. The Eagles look awesome. Jalen Hurts is a great story, and I love all of that. But the Jaguars are kind of sneaky good too, right? And they're getting 6.5 points. I don't think they win the game, but I like them to cover. 6.5 points. Give me the points. I like that. Jaguars in Philadelphia. Head to betonline.net or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, back Locked On Heat, talking about Media Day takeaways. We just discussed Jimmy Butler. Bam Adebayo's press conference. Didn't feel like there was a whole lot of news there, but to me the most interesting thing, and correct me if I'm wrong here if you disagree, asked about the fact that the old man, as he called Pat Riley, mentioned that he needs to be taking 15 shots per game. He was asked about that, how that's going to look like, and he even upped the ante. He said, I'm going to take 18 shots per
game.
That's
right.
I asked him if he wanted to be more aggressive. He said yes. It was a very succinct answer. I probably should not have asked him a yes or no question.
He probably should have asked him if he wants to take more three-pointers, see how that goes. Yeah, between him and Spo.
I was waiting for Spo for that.
To come back from the birth of his child just to tell you he doesn't need to take
Speaking
threes.
Of three, Eric Spoelstra, now that you got three kids.
The aggression
factor. Is this the theme of the season for you, Eric?
Yeah, look, I think it's interesting. And we've heard from Bam along these same lines before. Yeah. At this point in time, I think Heat fans are just desensitized to the whole thing, and they need to actually see it on a game-to-game basis, because it's okay for him to make that a goal. He has to make that a reality, because we're just past this point already.
Pat Riley agrees with you. Like that was such the noticeable thing about it to me, was Pat Riley coming out and say 15, and he's out here saying 15, no, actually 18. Maybe that was the genesis for him deciding that he does need to be a little bit more aggressive.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to set goals for himself. We know that Bam has done so throughout his career. Most NBA players do. A lot of people do. But it doesn't matter. I'm not to say frustrated, but we know what Bam is capable of. He certainly does. He hinted at it, that there's a potential for growth in his game, and if it's taking more shots in order to help the offense. And now he also kind of, you know, was clear in understanding that it's not just about him taking more shots. It's also about how Spo can create a better balance in the offense. He's going to do what he can to be more aggressive, and then it's a Spo question or a Spo concern regarding how the ball is shared evenly amongst everybody else on the roster. Because if he's taking 18 shots a game, that means somebody, Jimmy, Kyle, Tyler, who else, might be taking less. I did like his comment about, I'm going to be like Tyler. I'm just going to see orange when I'm out on the floor.
Put that ball in front of his head and keep shooting. I agree with what he says. That's on Spo to figure out how to divvy up the shots. And by the way, that also matters, like, what the rotation looks like. Who is Bam on the court
with? What's the style overall? Yeah.
What are they doing? But to me, if Bam just sees orange when he gets the ball, because he is such a versatile player, and we're just talking about, even obviously defensively, but just speaking from an offensive standpoint, where he can pass the ball, he can set screens, he can get guys involved with the dribble handoff and all of these things. He can be a good rebounder at times. Like, there's various ways in which he can impact the game offensively.
Right.
But at the end of the day, they just need him to take more shots. They need him to take that next step up in his evolution. He was asked about, hey, look, we're running it back, right?
Yep.
Like, what does this team look like? How does this team improve if you're just basically running it back after having lost a starter? And he said it starts with him and Tyler Hero. We're going to talk about Tyler Hero in a minute.
That was an interesting quote there from him. Recognizing that they're...
I've been saying all along, but yeah, recognizing that it's honest.
Yeah. No, absolutely. That they're the young core, that they have to take that next step in order for this team to take another level there, because the loss of P.J. Tucker, you can't rely on Jimmy as frequently as you did. Who knows what we're going to get out of Kyle on a night-to-night basis. But it starts with Jimmy and with Bam and Tyler as your two best, youngest options right now to carry the offense and push this team through to that next level.
Anything else on Bam before we move on to Tyler?
I liked his comments about the Defensive Player of the Year. He understands that he is a candidate. Frustrated, I would say. Sum up as frustration and said it's all politics at this point. But, yes, that he's still making the Defensive Player of the Year award a goal for him this season. We knew that was the case. And now it's just up to the voters. And he seems frustrated, very frustrated, kind of like a little snort as he's saying.
Rolling his eyes. He clearly does not like the people who voted. By the way,
that was hilarious.
The media here, people who did have a vote, did very frequently vote for Bam Adebayo. Marcus Smart did not get Defensive Player of the Year because of the Miami media.
Season. And also because he sucks.
Also, that talk about political. I think that's what he was talking about. Let's move on to Tyler Hero then and his media day appearance. Also doing it in the podium room, so nobody getting him on one-on-one down up here at the practice court where we're recording right now. But less, I thought, open about things than Jimmy and Bam were, and I think understandably he came out at the end of the last season during his media appearance and said, I want to be a starter.
Right.
I said, prove it, you got to earn it, and starts in training camp. Obviously we're a day away from training camp beginning for the Heat in the Bahamas. Also there's the extension looming. Tyler Hero keeping his cards close to the vest for the most part, immediately was asked about whether or not he should be starting, whether or not he wanted to start, and backtracked, said, look, I want to be a starter. That's a goal for myself. I believe I can do it. I believe I can help the team. But ultimately, it's what the team wants. If Eric Spoelstra wants me to come off the bench, that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Clearly, he wants to be a starter, but it sounds like he felt like he needed to backtrack a little bit.
Yeah, that's interesting. I wonder if either he recognized that those comments may have lacked some self-awareness on his part, or somebody close to him, maybe even somebody from the team said, hey, you know, you can't just put out there that you want to be a starter because you're upsetting the chemistry of this team, or something along those lines. Who knows? Whatever his reasons or his rationale was, absolutely changing his perspective there and quite clearly stating, you know what, it's not about starting, it's about being the most effective, that his goals over the offseason were being more efficient, putting on more weight, just being a little bit able to get to the line more frequently, asked about that, and just being able to draw, absorb contact and things of that sort. So clearly he's shown some self-awareness in that sense, that he wants to be able to continue to grow, also making a goal of being an all-star this year.
Well, that was sort of the not so sly way to say.
Definitely not. Nothing overt about it.
All-star. He said, well, I wasn't an all-star last year, even though I thought I should have been because I was coming off the bench. So being an all-star this year yeah. is obviously a goal of mine, which is in a not-so-subtle way saying I do still aim and think I should be a starter this season. So it's what he wants. And look, man, it's not a selfish thing. I don't know why it's being labeled as such. I just disagree. Like, you're an athlete. You're ultra-competitive. You should want to start. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be a starter at all. I get it. It shouldn't be labeled as this negative thing. I understand that, you know, the team comes first and all these things, but if Tyler Herro really is the best
option, right?
Roster,
if he's the
he
best option,
be a starter, and then they should just figure it out. I understand that people want, hey, well, you got to keep the bench unit, you got to keep a score. Forget the bench unit. Figure out the bench unit later. Just put your best five on the court to start games, and then figure out the rest of the rotation after. You talked about the offseason. I want to go back to that.
Yeah.
Because one of the other things that he said too was that over the offseason he's working on attacking off the catch as opposed to off the dribble, right? And working on that catch and shoot game that you and I have talked about.
His numbers were fantastic last year.
Elite catch and shoot numbers. And so if he's working on that, he's trying to put himself in position to be that guy who can impact offensively even without the ball in his hands.
Yeah, I like that. I also liked his focus on the defensive front. Like, again, he was asked what his preparation for improving defensively was, and he said a lot of one-on-one.
Yeah, I asked him that. Yeah.
Oh, was it that? Yeah, I forgot.
A lot of one-on-one work and putting weight on. I was just curious because he's like, I want to get better defensively. I'm like, how do you even do that if not in an NBA game?
I'm not sure one-on-one is necessarily your best.
Well, I like how he explained it to me. He was like, well, a lot of one-on-one because obviously one-on-one, you're playing offense, but then you also have to play defense. And I was like, really?
That is
I did not know
works.
That part about one-on-one. Not when I play one-on-one. That's not how I do it.
Yeah, one-way, strictly one-way player here. The Jamal Crawford of the one-on-one set. You know, I like that he's at least understood that he has to improve defensively. Like,
yes.
I mean, he's young. He understands that. He knows there are holes in his game that he has to fill. And if he's made even incremental growth defensively, then he might just be that best option to start because we've talked about the balance between him and Victor Oladipo. Oladipo is certainly stronger defensively.
Too.
Yeah, absolutely. So there are options there. And if Herro has continued to improve and address the weakest part of his game overall, then we could probably make a stronger case for him as a starter, emerging as a starter, and we'll find out at the end of training camp. Anything else from his
No, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. It's defense. He could talk all he wants about offense, catch and shoot, attacking off the catch, and he's so much more interested in talking about offense, too, which was my other takeaway from
Without a doubt.
Or from Media Day.
Yeah.
He's just so much more interested in talking about the offensive end. And I get it, man. He's a scorer. He should want to be more interested in
the offensive end. Oh, what did he say? I have one of the best offensive sets in
offensive repertoires in the league, and I'm like, all right, man.
That's
cool.
Bold.
Like,
that's bold.
He's been nothing but bold. I mean,
yeah, that's for sure.
But
never lack confidence.
He just needs to hold up defensively. If he could do that, then he could be a starter. That's how he's going to earn it in training camp. Other than that, with Tyler, we should talk about the extension. He was asked about the extension. He said, hey, that's just being hashed out between my agent and the team.
That's right.
I've got no other comment on that. I'm paraphrasing, but that's essentially what he said. So we'll see. It's still a situation that'll be lingering during the training camp.
No, yeah, I don't think you can read into that too much. I would say that it's obviously a concern, and he's trying to do his best to kind of overlook that, just get past it, and focus on the season. Well, he said that multiple times. It's all about the season. It's all about the team. It's not about my personal goals, et cetera. So
just for people that don't really know, like, a lot of these extensions happen in October because Media Day is also sort of the day where you start bringing people back into the office. It's not just the players.
Right.
It's the front office. It's the people that work in marketing. It's the people that are taking these pictures. And so a lot of times these extensions aren't done until October because people are just taking their last trips, their last vacations of the summer. We'll hash it out when we get back into the office. Let's just figure it out then. So it's not rare.
Right.
Bam Adebayo, Justice Winslow, all these guys got their extensions done in October.
Right.
It's just more of a story because of everything going on with Tyler Herro. But they got 2 weeks, basically, to figure something out. All right. That's it for now from Media Day. Any other takeaways from our spot here before we sign
No, off? We had a great time talking to some of the role players. Unfortunately, the starters are on a tight schedule as they're trying to get rushed into a private jet to the Bahamas. Hopefully they can beat whatever storm conditions might be out there. But otherwise, it's just been a lot of fun. And I think the strongest takeaway is that Omer Yurtseven believes he could be a starter and contributor. Darius Days love pub subs.
Darius Days is a big pub sub guy, so we talk about that extensively in our video and podcast.
Very, very fun conversations with some of the
Darius
role players.
Darius Days and I are going to share a pub sub is my big takeaway.
Right here on the podcast. So make sure you subscribe to the show
Publix.
To get the best coverage of yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We are totally open to public sponsorship.
I had a public sub yesterday. It was great. All right. That's it for now for Media Day. We'll have more Media Day coverage throughout the week. We'll have more training camp coverage throughout the rest of the week, Tuesday to Friday. Wes Goldberg, David Mill. This is Locked On Heat. Thanks for listening.